before the service today, I was talking to Brother Roy, and he gave me a little bit of insight to what he was going to speak on. So I was like, well, I'll pivot this way, and I'll give this lesson today. So we're going to focus mainly in Galatians today in chapter 5. It probably has been a couple years ago. As time flies, it probably has been. I did a series of lessons on the fruit of the Spirit and walked through those particularly each night on a Wednesday night. Today, we're going to focus on the fruit of goodness. So as we begin here, we'll look at Galatians chapter 5. And as you look at Galatians chapter 5, Paul starts with what the lives of those who are free in Christ looks like, what that looks like. In other words, how should Christians live if they're not under the law of Moses? Paul answers this in two ways. He says Christians must not squander freedom, basically, under the law by serving ourselves. That leads him to list out a list of sinful lifestyles here in Galatians. Then Paul wrote, those in Christ should allow God's Spirit to lead them into a powerful service to Him through love. So that's going to be the focus of our lesson this morning. Paul begins to offer this new list, and he describes what those in Christ should expect to see flowing from their lives when they let the Holy Spirit and they let the Word guide them in everything that they do. Paul calls them the fruit of the spirits, and from what I could study in the Greek, this is a singular term. It's not a list of nine different fruits, but nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. We, if in Christ, should expect to see characteristics of all of those things in our lives and all the things that we do, right? So as we go through the lesson today, I want us to be thinking about those things. And that it's not necessarily just one fruit of the Spirit that should be present. It should be all of those things within that make up the characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit that we should be seeing in our lives. As we walk through it too, you will see that some of these things are action-oriented, right? They're not just a characteristic of a good person, right? We understand what those are, but Christ asks us to take it a step further and be action-oriented in those things. So keep that in your mind as we walk through this morning. And as we walk through them too, another thing that I want us to see is that there shouldn't necessarily be order, rank, or schedule when we look at them, right? Each one has a particular value. Each one is as important as the other. So I'm going to walk through a few of these characteristics, and then we're going to get to goodness, and we'll talk about that, and we'll go deeper into what it is. Then we'll look at some examples of how Christ showed that characteristic and what he did and how he lived. And then we'll also look at an example of which it wasn't implemented and what the outcome of that was. And then the lesson will be yours. So he begins with love. So Brother Roy spoke to that this morning. So the term is agape. It's famously described as a selfless love. Putting people above ourselves without expecting anything in return, right? And I remember doing this study, and we talked about love a lot, and sometimes how that's really hard to do, right? It's really hard to give something sometimes and not expect anything in return, right? Whether it's 2 years from now, 3 years from now, whether it's 20 minutes from now, sometimes we always expect something in return. But the act that we see here and the description of love is that we do it without expecting anything in return. And that's the kind of love that we should have, and that's the kind of love that he describes here. And then we go to joy. So it's translated chara. And I had a conversation with Roy this morning about the Greek and the Hebrew and about how sometimes it's really hard to pronounce some of these words. And Brother Roy said, you know, if you get the English language right, you're probably in a good shape. If you get some of these wrong, you know, there's really not a true understanding of how some of them are said. So if you'll bear with me with that. But joy is basically described as an inner confidence. And we can see that in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 9. So you can see that that's an inner confidence. Then we go to peace, which is a concept of a restful, assured stillness. So when I thought about peace here as we're going through these, I thought about it in terms of biblical peace involves emotions such as assurance and an overall sense of spiritual calmness, right? Brother Allen does a great job of speaking to peace, what that peace feels like. What when you have peace with Christ, you're walking in the Lord, that kind of peace is something that you can't get anywhere else. You can't get it from anything else. You can't get it from money. You can't get it from fame. You can't get it from any other way but through Christ. So that's the peace that we're talking about here in terms of this. The next one's patience. It's often in the Bible, this word is in circumstances is meant with the ability to endure hardship, right? So patience is the ability to overcome obstacles and to endure hardship. So to weather the storm, right? To handle those things in a way in which allows you to weather the storm. Like those obstacles are going to come before us. We're going to face them. We overcome them. I got Alan Jones a hat one time, and it said Into the Storm is on the top of it. And Into the Storm is a company. And basically, the company was founded on a principle. So if you have cattle, you know that when storms come around, cattle will tend to run with the storm, right? They always want to run with it or away from the storm, not, you know, running with it in the same direction it's going. Part of that's a defense mechanism for them. The problem with it is that they stay in the storm the whole time, right? And it causes havoc. Buffalo, on the other hand, can sense a storm coming, right? They go right into it. They call it Into the Storm. And basically that is so they get through the hardship or the trial faster because they go right through it. They hit it head on, they understand what's going on, and they blast right through it. So it's a good analogy for us too, that when we see obstacles in front of us, that we don't just run with them or beside them or straddle the fence with them, right? That gray area, but we hit them head on and we go straight into the storm. So basically weathering the storm. The next one here is kindness. So maybe simple, but it's not always easy, is it? Kindness, really simple, just not always easy. It includes the concept of being good and gentle. In the spirit, we can be kind to everyone, right? If we're in the spirit, we can be kind to everyone. Who else does that include? It includes those who challenge us, or are offensive to us, or mean to us, or treat us bad, right? That we extend that level of kindness to them, even when we, most people would say you shouldn't have to, but we're called to, and that's what true kindness is as we're looking at it. And we're gonna look at goodness here. Goodness is the main focus of our subject this morning. It's the ability to do the right thing under any circumstance. So no matter what the circumstance is, that we do good. And it implies moral decency, describing someone who is respectful, honorable, and righteous. And the last few here is faithfulness. I'll just go ahead and go through these. It represents a kind of endurance given by trust. You know, Christians, even though we don't fully understand what's going on sometimes, we don't fully see the fruits of our work, right? That if we have faith or we have faithfulness or the characteristic of it, that we continue to do it. We continue to push forward. We continue to be of action. And then you have meekness, which is being submissive, right? And then self-control is the ability to control one's emotions, behaviors, and desires, right? So those are the fruits of the Spirit. And then we're going to dive a little bit deeper into goodness. Okay. Let's open our. So in the Greek, agathrose is the Greek here in the word for goodness. It signifies a moral quality which is described by the objective, which is agathrose. Agathrose is describes that which being good in its character or constitution is beneficial in its effect. And then kesolatos is the translation is kindness. So, and that's the word that's used here in verse 22. So let's go ahead and we'll open our Bibles and we'll go through some scriptures here as we talk about goodness. So let's go to Romans chapter 15 and verse 14. And I hope I didn't pick up the Bible. There was one Bible back there that was missing some pages. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, it says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to also accomplish, admonish one in another." Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9. And it says there, summarizing here, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Now turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith and power." Okay, and we're going to go ahead and look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 here this morning as well. So Galatians chapter 5. And I'll read through the end of the chapter. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be devious in vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So we can see here four different scriptures here that talk about goodness and the goodness that God has and that God has instructed us to walk therein. If you look at the vine, I looked at the definition here and I wrote it in the text here this morning to read. It signifies not merely goodness as a quality, rather as goodness in action, goodness expressing itself in deeds, yet not goodness expressing itself in indignation against sin, for it is contrasted with severity. And let's go ahead in Romans 11 and verse 22, "but in grace and tenderness and compassion." So Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, if you turn there, I'll read it for us. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. "Behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off." So we see here that there's a high priority put on our ability and action toward goodness, right? So we understand that. As it's stated here in Romans chapter 11, that there's this idea that we are commanded through the fruit of the Spirit, that this is one of the characteristics that we should all have, is this ability to be good and to do good things and have that within us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21, and we'll start in verse 12. Matthew 21 and verse 12. And we'll actually read 21, 12, and 13. And Jesus went to the temple of God and cast out them all that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be canceled, called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and beheld them. So the reason I brought this up is here is there. It also, when I looked and studied in the vine, when it talked about goodness, that there is a severity of goodness that it talked about to there within the Greek, and sometimes how it was used. So it says that in the time there in the temple where Christ overturned the tables, he was denouncing the scribes and the Pharisees. And the same word, charistatiles, is used here by its dealings with them, right? So it's the same word that they used here, but it has a little bit different meaning in the severity that he did it. Doesn't mean it was not good, but he was doing good. So there's a difference there in the definition. So I wanted to point that out as we look at it this morning. So what characterized Jesus Christ's goodness? I want you guys to think about this morning. What characterizes Jesus Christ's goodness? I want you to think about it just for a few seconds here. I wrote down three things that characterize Jesus Christ's goodness. His zeal to uphold God's design and purpose, right? He acted upon that zeal, and he trusted the outcomes to God. Right? All three. I'm going to read them one more time. What characterizes Jesus Christ's goodness? The zeal to uphold God's plan and purpose. He acted upon that plan and had zeal for that. And he trusted the outcomes to God. So I want you to keep that in mind. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 19 and start in verse 16. And we're going to look at a rich young ruler here in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. I'll give you a few seconds to turn there. So we just gave characteristics of God's goodness, right? So I want you to think about that, and I want you to think about the contrast that we see here with the rich young ruler. So Matthew chapter 19, 16 through 22. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith to him, which Jesus said, Thou shalt do not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. Up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then Jesus said unto the disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go there through the eye of a needle than it is a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So what do we see here is the difference between what God gave the example of and the rich young ruler here. It's the same three things, just the reverse side of it, right? He didn't have the zeal to uphold God's design and purpose. He didn't have that desire, right? Not truly. What else did he not want to do? He didn't want to act on it, right? So can we relate that to our lives today? Can we? If we're honest, can we? Yeah, we can. And it might not be money. It might be time. It might be family. It might be other things of this world that we don't want to let go of or we don't want to remove that keep us away from doing good things, right? That's the reason why, when you really look at it, is do we trust enough? The rich young ruler didn't trust enough, right? He didn't trust that God would take care of him. He'd done all this work, he had all these possessions, and he didn't trust enough. So I want us to think about that this morning. And I'm going to close with a few things here that we're going to walk through. And I wrote 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things down. Then I want to think about, want us all to think about as we leave today. I wrote, prove it, cleave to it, do it, work it, follow after it, imitate it, overcome evil with it. And we're going to look at 7 verses today as we close. Prove it, cleave to it, do it, work it, follow after it, imitate it, and overcome it, overcome evil with it. So let's go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. I'll start in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to represent your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Prove it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, never flag in zeal by aglow with the Spirit, serve the Lord. Cleave to it. Romans chapter 13 and verse 3. I wrote a few verses here when it scribes, do it. Romans chapter 3 and verse 13. Therefore, to who resists the authorities, resist what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of him who is in authority, that do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword of the vain. He is a servant of God to execute his wrath on the whoremonger. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, and I'll start in verse 10. For he that would love life and sees good days, let him keep his tongue from evil, and let his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do right. Let him seek peace and purpose it. In John chapter 5 and verse 29. John chapter 5 and verse 29. And 28, Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Do it. That's what that one is. Do it. Let's go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 10. Romans chapter 2 and verse 10. Starting in verse 9. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Start verse 26. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and let the sun go down on you in anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15. And if somebody is there and would like to read, I'll have you read them. My pages are sticking together. I'm here now, though. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15. I'll read this.
See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men.
Perfect. So what does this tell us? To follow after it, right? That's our follow after it. The next part of this, as we go through this, is imitate it. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 3 and 13. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is right? But even if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts reverence Christ as Lord. Let's go to 3 John chapter 11. 11. Behold, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. He who does good of God, he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has testimony from everyone, and from the truth itself I testify to him too, that you know my testimony is true. So we are to imitate it. And let's finish here this morning with Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. Let's start in verse 20. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome with good. So this tells us that we're overcome evil with good, right? So prove it, cleave to it, do it, work it, follow after it, imitate it, overcome evil with it. Those are all the things that we could do that magnify the word good and what it means for Christ, right, in our lives every single day. Actually, we have time if you guys have a few more minutes. Let's go to Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. We'll start there. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. Okay. I'll read here because we're going to break this up as we close. Romans chapter 4, 7 and verse 4. Likewise, my brethren, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that you may bear fruit for God. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law, we at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which has held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. So it teaches us here that there's two ways. In verse 4 it says, likewise, brethren, you have died into the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him has raised from the dead, in order that you may bear fruit for God. So there's two ways here. There's in the flesh and there's in Christ, right? Let's go to chapter 7 and we'll go to verse, and we're going to read 7 through 25. It's a little bit of a read, but it'll be good for us as we finish this morning. So this is talking about in the flesh. So if we follow this out, chapter 7, verses 7 through 25. What then shall we say that the law and sin? By no means. What shall we say? What shall we say that the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I should have not known sin, but I should have not known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, finding opportunity and commandment, wrought in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the very commandment which promised life provided death to me. For sin, finding opportunity in the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, just, and good. Did that which is good then bring death into me? By no means. It was sin working death into me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful through measure. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. So then it is no longer that I do it, but sin which dwells within me, for I know that nothing good dwells within me. That is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil. I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer that I do it, but sin which dwells in me. So I find it in the law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of the God in my innermost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of their mind, and making me captive to the way of sin which dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God, which my mind with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Let's turn to chapter 8 and verses 1 through 14. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that may requirement, so that just the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not of the flesh. You are in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God really dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through the Spirit which dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live to the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Pretty powerful, isn't it? That all those who put everything they do in the flesh or this world have an outcome, right? All those who walk in the Spirit have the Spirit, right? They have the Word. They have God within them. And through that, and through his teachings, we know what the fruits of the spirits are. And we learned this morning that it's not just it's a singular thing. It's not just one altogether, but they're all together, linked together in terms of the fruits of the Spirit. It's characteristics of what this fruit of the Spirit is, right? So as we leave this morning, I want us to think about those things. I want us to think about the fruits of the Spirit. Do we possess all of them, right? If we don't, why not? Right? Be honest with yourself. Introspection's good. So be honest with yourself if you don't. Right? If you don't, then make it an action. Right? We learned this morning that a lot of these words and the fruits of the Spirit and how the descriptions are, they all have action back behind them. So we could be action-oriented to those things. And the main topic this morning was goodness, right? The main focus was goodness. So each one of us has an opportunity to do that. And I'll leave you with one verse. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you represent your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's our reasonable service, right? It's a reasonable service. So I ask that we think about those things this week as we go through the week, that we think about the fruits of the Spirit. We evaluate ourselves if there's things that are missing. If they're missing, we figure out why, and we're action-oriented about them, right? If we have the ability to help people, to show love, mercy, kindness, to be meek, to show long-suffering, whatever that is, that we be mindful of those things. And that we have those characteristics within us. So I challenge us this week to do those things. And if there's anybody here this morning that hasn't had the ability to obey the gospel and to be baptized, that we have water behind us. And that would be the necessary step if you have not obeyed that, in order to have a hope in heaven, to have your sins forgiven, to be cleansed, to be washed clean through the water.